Let's join together in a spirit of prayer. Holy Spirit, Jesus said that it would be good for him to leave this world because he would send you in his place. Sometimes we wish we could be back in the days when Jesus walked and just follow you, Jesus, along. But Jesus himself said it would be good for him to go so that he could send you, Holy Spirit, to be with us. You, Holy Spirit, live in our hearts. Therefore, we can fellowship with you not just moment by moment, not just on occasion, but anywhere and any time. Further, Jesus called you our comforter and our counselor. Holy Spirit, minister to us in our needs this morning. Draw us again into an awareness of God's rich love for us, that all our worries subside, that we might rest in your gracious care for us. Today, Father, we pray for those who grieve. We pray for Carol DeVries and for all Bob's family and friends. We pray for Norma Fish and for all Marvin's family and friends. Oh Lord, we thank you for these two faithful men, Marvin and Bob, and for the many ways they reflected the light of your love into this world. Sustain their families with the precious promises of your word and the eternal hope of the gospel. We pray also for Deb Bell and all the family and friends of her granddaughter Elizabeth and Elizabeth's boyfriend who died so suddenly, so tragically, so young. Holy Spirit, draw near and bring them your comfort. We pray also for those who are ill or dealing with infirmity. We pray for Larry Wallace and others facing cancer. We pray for Kenny Walker IV as he awaits an extensive surgery, and we pray for its success and for his and his family's peace and the waiting. We pray for the new Inchwanders, and we thank you for their progress in recovering from COVID-19, and yet pray for their continued recovery. We pray also for all those others who are facing pandemic-related issues, whether that be issues of health, loneliness, finances, or other concerns. And we pray for your ongoing care. As Pastor Eric recently preached, we pray not only for relief from our trials, but we pray that we might grow through them as we trust you are at work, even in the hardest things we face, O Lord. And you are good, now and forever. You are faithful and true, and we worship you. In the midst of ongoing turmoil in our nation, O Lord, we pray that as your people, we might increasingly be your ambassadors of peace, sharing our faith with others, that they too might know your love and peace, and find joy in praising you, purpose in living for you, and rest from all strife. We bring all the other prayer requests on our hearts and minds to you, O Lord, with the words of the Lord's Prayer, which we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Don't you just love those little voices? Our scripture this morning is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, and then also Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. And so John the Baptist came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came down from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Acts 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." This is the holy word of God.
I want to begin this morning's lesson by looking back at Psalm 29, the Bible passage we heard read at the beginning of our service this morning. Seven times in Psalm 29, we hear the phrase, "the voice of the Lord." The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks. God's authoritative voice, it proclaims his dominion, it proclaims his power, it proclaims his authority over creation and within creation. The seven expressions about the voice of the Lord, they emphasize the strength and the authority God expresses through his voice. The strength and authority of God's voice is also connected to his word, both the written word and the word he speaks to us. In the voice of God, if the voice of God has such power, then the words uttered with that voice had the same sense of power and the same sense of authority. In the account we've read of the baptism of Jesus, we hear the power and the authority of the voice of the Lord. In Mark 1, verse 11, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" Going back to Psalm 29, verse 3, it says, the God of glory thunders." I want you to dwell on that. The God of glory thunders. Are you hearing thundering going on in your mind? Going back to storms of thunder, the God of glory thunders. It rumbles, it's loud. When that voice came from heaven, when Jesus was baptized, that voice of the Lord, when that voice spoke, I wonder what that voice truly sounded like, knowing that the God of glory thunders. Did the voice of the Lord thunder, as described in Psalm 29? Could that voice be heard by those that were there watching the baptism? Did they note the tone, the power, and authority in that voice? That same voice spoke at the transfiguration of Jesus up on the high mountain, as Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him up to the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured before them. And then Moses and Elijah joined and began talking with Jesus, and a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The voice speaks, and we are to listen. In Matthew's account of the transfiguration, as the disciples heard the voice speak, the three disciples fell face down to the ground because they were terrified. Again, it goes back to the God of glory thunders. When the Lord speaks, it can be a voice of thunder. It's a voice of power. It's a voice of authority. In Mark 1, the powerful voice of the Lord underscores, it highlights, it focuses attention on what led up to the voice speaking. Before the voice spoke came the baptism of Jesus. And before the baptism of Jesus came the ministry of John the Baptist. All led up to that voice speaking. John prepares the way. John prepares the people. He was baptizing and preaching a baptism of repentance. Now, much is often made about the appearance of John the Baptist, his rough clothing and his diet of wild food, those locusts and that wild honey. But it was the preaching of John that it was most important. It was his voice that the people heard, that drew the people's attention, that people responded to. We can often wonder about John's appearance and his diet. But the news to know and remember is that the people responded to John's message, not to his appearance. John preaches a message of repentance, and the people responded by confessing their sins and being baptized in the waters of the Jordan River. The same way that Jesus would be baptized by John in the waters of the River Jordan. And the message John preached pointed to one more powerful than he, the one who would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. John was pointing to Jesus. And in his ministry, John the Baptist prepared the people for the way of Jesus. John aroused the hearts of the people. People came from the countryside. They came from the big city. They heard the call to confession, and they responded. They heard that call, and the people came. They repented, and they were baptized with water, the symbolism of being washed new, of being cleansed. And as we look at Mark 1 and think about John the Baptist, John was not the warm-up band. John was not the lead-in to the main performance. John was not the foil for Jesus. John the Baptist himself was a key figure, the central figure, in preparing the way for people to know Jesus. John was fulfilling his calling in God's plan of salvation. He was living out what the angel had told John's father, Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. As Zechariah and Elizabeth learned they were to become parents. Luke 1:13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John the Baptist, in his ministry, he was fulfilling the plan of God's salvation. And so John came. John prepared the way, informing the people that the Lamb of God would come, as related in John 1, verse 29. And that Lamb did come in the man we know as Jesus. John spent time preparing the people to know, to recognize and to listen to Jesus. And in reality, God had been preparing the people for centuries. And it came time that the preparations were accomplished, and Jesus came, the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would fill and comfort and counsel people, coming down just as the Spirit descended upon Jesus as he came up out of the waters of the Jordan River. with God as the author of the unfolding ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus, the preparations were finished, and Jesus would begin his public ministry. Preparations, preparing the way. It doesn't always happen so quickly, and there is preparation to go through for people to come to know Jesus. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird. A number of months passed, and then still several years went by, and still no painting was brought to the palace. Finally, the emperor became so exasperated that he went to the artist's home to demand an explanation. Instead of making excuses, the artist placed a blank canvas on the easel, and in less than an hour, the artist completed a painting that was to become a brilliant masterpiece of a bird. When the emperor asked the reason for the long delay, the artist showed him stacks and stacks of drawings of feathers and of wings and heads and feet. And then the artist explained that of all of this research and study had been so necessary before he could complete the final painting. The artist spent years preparing to paint that bird. Preparation is so important. The preparation of a person's heart to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is so important too. John's ministry was vital. Moving from Mark 1 and how Jesus was going to come and baptize people in the Holy Spirit, we think about Acts chapter 2 and the time, the revelation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when those early Christians, they experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit in those three forms. The sound like the blowing of a violent wind, a rushing wind that symbolizes the Spirit of the Lord. Those tongues of fire that rested on each of them. Fire, a sign of God's holy presence, reminding us of the time of the burning bush with Moses and the pillar of fire that went before the Israelites to guide them through the wilderness. And that all of the people on that day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they began to speak in other tongues, in other languages. The day of Pentecost marks a new creation. The preparations had come and been done, and they were ready. And it was the beginning of the Christian church. It was a new creation because God poured out his Holy Spirit upon those people that day. And then considering the text from Acts 19, verse 1 through 7, in the reality that the Holy Spirit is with us. And upon baptism, we are filled with that Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never leaves us as we continue to worship God. In Acts 19, here's an account of Scripture in the reality, the real presence of the Spirit. Paul in his travels. Upon coming to Ephesus, Paul does what he normally has done. He meets some people, he meets some disciples, and he asks them the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And surprisingly, the disciples knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. They hadn't even heard about the Spirit. The disciples shared that they had received John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance, a baptism of water. And then Paul instructed the disciples about John's baptism and how John taught people about Jesus and told people to believe in Jesus. And then those 12 disciples were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on those disciples. The presence of the Spirit, a new creation in those 12 disciples. They were seeking holiness. They were living in righteousness. Living in righteousness. If you read through the Discovery Guide readings each week, 1 John chapter 3 this past week talks about what it means to live in righteousness. This past week, someone came into my office and shared a message with me that they had received from God. They had been praying about a question, a strong and difficult question. And the words that they heard in their time of prayer, those words were real. Those words were right. Those were words that that person needed to hear. And they shared with me how God responded to their question, how God answered. It was that voice of the Lord that Psalm 29 talks about. It's the same voice that was there upon the baptism of Jesus and upon his transfiguration. That same spirit that was there on the day of Pentecost and that same spirit that fell upon those disciples in Acts 19, the spirit is with us. The spirit is with us and the spirit speaks to us because the Holy Spirit is the counselor. Yesterday at Marvin Fish's memorial service, I shared some notes that some of the family gave to me, and they had titled those notes Marvin's Aha Moments. And I had about 2 weeks to study those notes and to get a picture, a glimpse of Marvin's thoughts, of his aha moments. Those were moments of introspection. Those were moments of revelation where the Holy Spirit was speaking to Marvin through the scriptures and through what he was reading in the Bible. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Jesus tells us that after he was going to be gone, the Spirit, the counselor, would come, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of wisdom. And in John 14, 26, Jesus goes on to say, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." It is the Spirit, the Counselor, the guide that teaches us and reminds us of everything in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is active within us. And the call of the gospel is to receive that Spirit, to be baptized in the truth and in the name of Jesus Christ, to be a new creation, to be cleansed. And it's that same Spirit that speaks to us as we pray and as we ask in faith questions of God, as we turn over our concerns and our aches and our hurts. It's the Spirit of God that responds to us and fills us with the hope and the peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for your voice that speaks to us. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor that you have sent. Lord, we pray that we would rely upon your Spirit to continue to teach us and to remind us of the truth in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, continue to walk with us and help us to be faithful in honoring and loving and worshiping you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
If you are able, please rise as we sing hymn number 252, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. After the spoken benediction, we'll conclude with number 608, May the Grace of Christ our Savior.
Thank you.
Even though your mask may be covering those sweet expressions on your faces, God sees and God knows. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Amen.